We start our first day with a little bit of discussion about school. I've got three things that I want to say. We can also have questions. And we should probably actually have other meetings like this, because as I started to write down things about the school, I realized there was perhaps more than we could do in a short time. So maybe, and also I expect that questions about the school are things that will come to mind as time goes on. So maybe we should get together maybe next Monday morning too. Who knows? We'll see. For today, I wanted to talk a little bit about the philosophy of PSI. Okay, so the purpose of the program, the idea is that you come in as students and you leave as effective, competent researchers. That's the hope. Of course, maybe some of you are already effective, competent researchers, in which case we will just try to hone your skills. So this is not a competition or a contest. There will not be winners and losers. Our aim is to bring out the best and make full use of the abundant talent that resides in this group that you've brought with you. Our approach should be one of cooperation rather than competition. People working together, always giving credit where credit is due to fellow students and others who help you out. There will be considerable group activities and interactions. So there will be a lot of emphasis on group activities. However, we always have to recognize the importance of, because this is, after all, theoretical physics of quiet contemplation and solitary thought. At some point, you have to sit down and make sure that you understand things clearly in your own mind. On the other hand, there will be considerable emphasis on communication, the ability to express ideas, to explain and teach. You'll find, if you haven't already found, that when you teach something is when you really start to understand it. And if you can teach something effectively, then you do understand it, typically. This will, by the way, place a maybe a little bit of an extra burden on people who's, for whom English is not your native language. All I can say is hang in there. My experience with communication skills is that your ability is just greatly enhanced every time you use them. And that goes for people whose English knowledge of English is limited. It also goes for people like myself, who are maybe a bit shy and don't really naturally take to public presentations and discussions. The more you do it, the better you get. Take my word for it. I've seen it happen a million times. We're expecting you to work very hard. I won't belabor this, because I'm sure that Kari will convey that expectation. So working hard and studying, I mean, there's a certain amount of essential knowledge in this business that underpins theoretical physics, understanding quantum mechanics, relativistic quantum field theory at the deepest possible level, statistical mechanics, theory of phase transitions, the mathematics, which is considerable, actually almost unlimited. The ability to compute is something that will be emphasized in this program. and things like nonlinear phenomena. These are all things that you need to understand deeply as a foundation for your work, and it does take a lot of hard work to understand those things deeply. These will all be treated in the so-called core courses. It's the first, 12 weeks after the research skills session. So we have 3 weeks of research skills, and then I believe there's three-week and a two-week set of core courses. Those will be followed by reviews, which are basically treatments of subdisciplinary topics, say condensed matter physics, and then the explorations, which are basically current topics in whatever area they are. Once we finish the courses, there is something called the essay, which is the research experience in the course. The essays will be supervised by some, each of you will be supervised by some faculty member that you will select. So that could be someone from Perimeter, it could be someone from Waterloo, or McMaster, or Wilfrid Laurier, as we met, there was a professor there last night from Wilfrid Laurier, one of the surrounding universities. And this is actually something we need to plan for, and because you don't necessarily know a lot of these people. The idea that I had was that we'd have some evening events with a little food and drink, and we'd invite people in that could maybe make presentations to all of us about what their research interests are. And then as the year progresses, you could perhaps get in touch with one of these people as a potential supervisor. So that's what should be one of our organized activities, is focusing on the essay. Another aspect of the program that I'd like to mention to you is what you could call outreach. We're hoping that the PSI students are visible in the community and that they take part in activities. I actually had a meeting, Debbie and I had a meeting with the mayor of Waterloo, who has lots of ideas of things that she'd like to see happen. And the one that actually struck me that I'd like to pursue as soon as I can is the idea that some of you might be willing or interested in actually mentoring or interacting with young kids, elementary school students, possibly middle school students. There's mixed opinion as to what age is the proper age, although Kari has put it in a nutshell that the younger the better. So so I'll be in touch.
Younger, more fun.
Yes, that too. Yes, and of course that's what it's all about. So I'm going to be in touch with one of the local principals about this. I mentioned to you before social activities and self-organization. I won't belabor the point, but if we are going to have social activities where you'd like us to do some, be involved in the planning, then you need to get together and figure out the kinds of things that you'd like to do and let us know. We can talk about that as time goes on. So I think that's more or less all I have to say. And I'm just wondering at this point whether anyone has questions. We could spend a few minutes if there are things that you've been wondering about and no one's actually mentioned. Yeah?
How long is the essay portion going to be?
It's all May. Starts a little before that. And the essays, I think, are due in June. I actually don't have that in my schedule. I should put up a better schedule. So the idea would be that the actual period that you have to do research is rather constricted. And so it's really worth a lot if we can sort of look ahead, maybe pick your supervisor ahead, get some reading done, and things like that, so that when we're finished with classes, which I should know exactly when that is here, So the last class ends around the 23rd of April. Okay. So at that point, you'd like to be ready to move right into research.
So do we know who these eligible students are? Is it anybody at any of the local schools?
Actually, it doesn't even have to be local. In fact, there's a lot of flexibility there. I mean, Neil has, of course, you have to understand that there's been a lot of ideas floating around about the school, some sensible, some crazy, but you know, it's not out of the question that someone could come and spend time here,
right,
in a collaboration. So yes,
it's up to us to find somebody.
Ultimately, it's up to you. It's up to us to try to make available to you potential, you know, ideas, and then make it work. Okay, so let me just say briefly, so your first lecture, so this is for this week. Next week is Nima. There's a rumor that he'll actually be here. Freddie Cachazzo said last night that yes, he thinks he knows what he's going to do. So, but today your lecturer is Kari Delnocki-Varas, who's from McMaster University, colleague of mine. Kari is an experimental soft condensed matter physicist. He works on things like polymer crystallization in confined geometries, self-assembly, pattern formation. Kari's won the 2008 Dillon Medal of the American Physical Society, and previously he was a collaborator of Pierre-Gilles Dejean, who some of you may have heard of as a famous theorist who sort of wrote some of the books on polymer theory. I guess one of Kari's other accomplishments, which I remember well, was that he was the inventor of the, at least at McMaster, of the physics paper triathlon, in which high school students make a paper bridge, a paper boat, and a paper plane. And then each one must demonstrate some superior characteristic, and then the best one wins. So my first experience with this, and then of course at the end of the contest, the graduate students are all there trying to do this, and then I always remember Kari walking in and just getting the winning score with very little effort. So now I'm going to turn Kari over to you, and he will tell you something about what you're going to do.
You are, sir.
Thanks, John.
All yours.
Okay.
You have a chair.
So, well, first of all, it's absolutely my pleasure to be here. John mentioned the physics paper triathlon. That was actually, it's such a fun event because it's extremely simple. All you need is some paper. So you can set it up in no time. And John mentioned very briefly the idea of outreach. And I'll be talking a little bit about outreach to students and to people outside of the university, because I think it's a very important aspect of the things that we do. So I'll spend a little bit of time talking about that. So the purpose of this week for me is to try and teach you at least the first part of this course on research methods. And I'm not going to focus on teaching you specific theoretical tools or anything like that, because you will have people that are much more capable than I teaching you that through the rest of the year. So one of the things that I'd like to focus on a little bit with you is, what does it take to be a good researcher? And what are some of the characteristics of a good researcher? So we'll try to talk a little bit about that, and I hope to have some good discussions with you. The other thing that I will let you know is that during this week, I think I may have way too much stuff for you to do, but that's okay. You'll just have to work really hard. Okay? So things will come pretty quick, and I'll try and let you know exactly when they're coming and what's happening so it doesn't catch you by too much of a surprise. But one of the important things I want to focus on is communication during this week. And I think, you know, John already hinted at the idea of that, you know, some people are very good at communicating. John said himself that he feels sometimes he's of a more shy personality. I am also of a more shy personality, though most people don't actually realize that. And the way that I've dealt with that, it really is just by an awful lot of practice, okay? So this week we're gonna discuss and try to develop what it takes to be a good research scientist. And I'd like to spend a little time thinking about what does that mean to be a good researcher? And specifically, what's the difference between being a decent researcher? Because I think we probably all have the ability to be a decent researcher. If you're here, you have that ability, okay? But I'd like to try and explore the idea, what's the difference between a decent researcher and an excellent researcher? And that's not, I'm not for a second suggesting that I'm an excellent researcher. I think I am a decent researcher. I think I'm an accomplished researcher at this point. But one of the reasons that I enjoy preparing for this course is because it gave me a chance to sort of think about what does it take to really be excellent. And you look at some people that really are excellent. So, you know, the Feynmans, or John mentioned the collaboration I had with Pierre-Gilles Dejeune. To interact with somebody like that, you very quickly realize the difference between, you know, a decent researcher and somebody who's really, really special. Okay. So what does excellence require? So we'll spend a little bit of time today talking about this, okay? And some of this, you're gonna have an awful lot of sort of pencil and paper kind of work during this program. So a lot of what I'm going to be talking about is a little bit more fluffy, okay? A little bit more conceptual and just trying to understand a little bit what it takes. One of the things that I think is a really important skill, as I've already mentioned, is communication skills, okay? So good writing. Obviously, you need to be able to write well to have decent research publications. That's the main thing that we try and do in our research, is try to make sure that we publish lots and we publish well. I think one of the most highest impact ways that you can interact with people in your field is by giving presentations. Conference presentations, lectures, poster presentations. These are incredible opportunities. And what I've learned, so I have a fairly large research group, certainly for Canadian standards. I have a fair number of students, and have had quite a bit of experience trying to teach students to give good presentations. And I think, you know, I learned this from my supervisor, who probably learned it from his supervisor, okay? But I think there are some tricks that are really useful to know, some things that really help in terms of making it much more routine to give a good research talk. And then, so for some of you, you'll just follow a routine, and that's what you'll probably do. For some of you, that's what you'll continue to do. Some of you will be excellent at communicating, okay, and will go well outside of what I'm suggesting, and that's completely fine, too. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? But it's the what I'd like to do is at least teach some of you, or help some of you, to be able to give a good research talk, okay? And I think that I have had enough experience teaching students that to know what works, okay? So let me give you a good example of what does not work in a professional setting. Planning a talk, planning a joke in your conference talk. I see it happen all the time. There's some, you know, you have a student and they want to try to seem really comfortable up as they're talking to an audience of experts, and then sort of halfway through they crack a joke. And, you know, some people can pull that off. That's why I said the rules that I'm giving you are not for everybody. Some of you can pull off a joke and do it really, really well. And it'll be perfect. It'll be great. And the audience will be in hysterics, and it's all fantastic. But you know what? I've actually never seen it work. So I'm not discouraging you from having fun, but I've actually never seen it work. And what I've seen more often than not is somebody cracks a joke, the audience is completely quiet, okay? And then the person just kind of implodes because there's this huge pressure on you from all these people that you expected to be laughing what you're saying. It doesn't work. The other reason it doesn't work is because when you're a junior researcher and you're up standing in front of a professional audience of people that are well respected in the field, then it just looks a little bit funny. It just looks a little out of place, almost like you're being too casual about the opportunity. Okay? So on the other hand, you know, some senior researcher can get away with cracking a joke, no problem, right? So it's a little bit unfair, but that's just the mentality. That's the way it seems to work, as far as I've seen. Okay, So that's just an example of what doesn't work. So I'll try and give you some tricks of what works and what doesn't work. And at the very end of this week, I'll expect each one of you to give a presentation. OK? So the other thing that I think that I already hinted at, and John Berlinski already hinted at, is the general importance of communication and the idea of outreach. Okay, I'll talk a little bit more about that. One of the things that I think is really important to realize is that the opportunity that you have, the opportunity that you know that I have, comes at a cost to you know taxpayers and people outside of the university. There are a lot of people that fund us to be here to do the job that we do. That makes us extremely privileged. Okay, I think about my job and I just absolutely love the job that I do. I get to have fun almost all the time. And so while I get to have fun, I think it's important to realize that there are people that are paying me to have fun. Okay, which is a crazy idea to me. And so I think that one of the things that's really important is, you know, when you get the opportunity to talk to people what you do, it's actually really, really important to share that. Okay, so I had the pleasure of being in Shanghai for the last, well, part of a week. I came back last night at 3 o'clock in the morning, so that's why I already had a lot of coffee. And you know, on the airplane, you know, you're sitting beside somebody and they ask you, so you know, what is it that you do? And you started off the conversation to ask you a little bit about your research. That's a fantastic opportunity to try and sort of bridge that gap a little bit between to create some understanding. Okay, so I think that's extremely important. One of the things that I'd like to start off with, a lot of you have had the opportunity to talk to each other during the barbecue, I guess, and you've, some of you have already been here for a while. But of course, I haven't met you, so I'd like to do some introductions. Okay, but maybe before we do that, are there any questions about what I've said so far?
So one of the things that certainly is going to help me stay awake is when you guys have questions. So
actually, it's a great tactic for waking up. These people probably don't have the problem at all.
Oh, come on, you're going to have lots of problems while I'm sleeping.
But the one way to wake up is to ask a question. It just gets the adrenaline.
You said outreach is important because there's people giving us money. Giving you money to do this, right?
Yeah.
I'm the guy in the airplane for money. Well,
okay, so no, that's an excellent question. It's in your lap, that's an excellent question. Okay, it's not always direct, right? Of course, the person sitting beside me in the airplane isn't necessarily the one who's funding me specifically to do research.
He might end up giving you lots of money, though. Yeah. He might end up sitting next to like, the writer's neck. Well, you don't know if you talk to him. He goes, oh, here, hello.
You don't know that in advance, that's for sure. But the other thing is that person, even if they're not, so of course, I'm funded mostly by Canadian taxpayers. Okay? And so that person may not be Canadian. Okay? But they may well be, say, they're from Germany. Okay? They're paying taxes there to have research and do research there. So it's not necessarily about, you know, sort of a direct connection between me and that individual in terms of trying to get money. It's not about getting money. Okay? It's actually quite the opposite. I think it's about giving back a little bit, right? Trying to educate the public, trying to educate people about what to do. Right? One of the most common questions that I get is, oh, you know, people ask me what I'm doing. It's like, oh, I'm a professor. Oh, that must be great to have all the summers off. You have 4 months off. 4 months off? Are you kidding? The hardest work I do is usually during the summer, right? When I'm trying to get all the research done because I'm teaching a lot during the rest of the year. So that trying to explain to people what it means to be a professor is really, really useful. Most people really think that for those 4 months, I'm sitting on my ass and doing nothing, or like, you know, maybe sitting in the backyard and thinking beautiful thoughts. So I think it's really, really important to try and actually to teach people what it is that we do. And I think it's also one of the funnest things that, I mean, it's certainly something, I love teaching. And I was not, you know, when John mentioned that I like interacting with younger student professors, there is a certain truth to that.
what I find is that, you know, the younger they are, the more easy it is to interact and create enthusiasm, right? So you have right away, you know, kids when they're young, they have so much excitement about learning science. And so that's a really great opportunity to try and, you know, get that bug in their ears to try and get them enthusiastic about science at a very young age. And you will have that opportunity to do so. And what I think, I mean, have any of you had that chance yet to do some outreach work? Yeah? What kind of things have you done?
I go teach in my high school.
In your high school? It's fun, right? Anybody else?
My mom's like grade 5 class.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. And that's a great age, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I find is that, so I had one opportunity. I have two daughters, and I had an opportunity to teach their school. At their school, they asked me to come in and, you know, do a science demonstration, and they were pretty excited to have me come to the school and do something with the kids. So, you know, at first I thought that I would be dealing with, like, you know, a classroom at a time, but no, what they wanted was for me to have all the kids from junior kindergarten, so they're like, I don't know, 5 years old, okay, all the way up to grade 5, okay, by which time they're, I guess, almost 10 years old, right? So you have a huge gap in intellect. I mean, the difference between, you know, a child that's 4 years old who's like, you know, dribbling, and, you know, all the way up to grade 5 when they're actually really asking very clever thoughts, right? Clever questions, that difference is huge. And I've never had as much fun as that time. I had between 100 and 120 kids just sitting on the ground, okay? And I was doing demonstrations for them. And they were going nuts, right? Usually when I'm teaching, it's like, you know, please ask a question. It's so much more fun to have questions. And here, you could not stop the kids. It was continuous questions. You ask for a volunteer, right? Normally, if first year physics is not so bad. You ask for a volunteer, and usually there's, you know, somebody who's willing to help out. You ask that age group for a volunteer, they are literally rushing to stay. You're all running up because they want to help. You tell them it's a dangerous thing to do, they're running even more. It's just such a fun environment to work in. So maybe I should quit my job and teach that age group. But so I think that, you know, many of you have probably already had that experience a little bit, but I would really encourage you to cultivate that. I think it's tremendous fun. So maybe the next thing I'd like to do is a little bit of introductions. What I would like to do is actually just go around, have everybody speak a little bit about, you know, why, so, you know, who are you, where are you from, what are your hobbies, your interests, and maybe give a little bit of thought specifically to why are you at KSI and what are your expectations. I think that's a worthwhile question to ask. Specifically, when Dennis and Cal and I were talking about this week and preparing for this week, I was thinking, you know, why are you at PSI? And Cal pointed out that one of the things that's really important for us to know is, what are your expectations? What are you hoping to get out of this? So rather than right away me starting, okay, and saying, okay, you start us off, which I will. So maybe I'll just give you a few minutes to think about these questions so you can jot down a few notes, okay? Before I do that, John mentioned something, the idea of cooperation and versus competition, okay? And I think this is a really, really important one. There are some of you here who are, you know, have no problems talking in English, and some of you who will have problems talking English, for whom it's difficult, and it's really important to work together and try to help each other, right? And so that's something that we're really trying to stimulate in this group of students, is trying to get this idea of trying to work together and trying to do collaborative work. Okay? So be kind to each other. All right. Why don't you think about things for a few minutes, and then we'll start.
Interesting thing is that I thought So I thought the problem is the style, and even if you can touch it, you know, the style is so different. The size of the width that I found, you get
So maybe I'll start off since of course you don't know who I am. So I was born in Holland. I'm Dutch. I came to. There's somebody else who's Dutch, right? Who's that? I was born in Holland. I immigrated to Canada with my parents when I was about 13 years old, and so I spent most of my formative, certainly as professionally spent most of my time in Canada. I did all my degrees at the University of Guelph, which is a university that's about an hour from here. I started off for my master's. I started off doing theoretical particle physics. I thought it'd be great fun to do theory, and it was great fun to do theory. I absolutely loved those 2 years doing theoretical particle physics. And then at some point, I really caught this bug of doing experiments, and I got, so for my PhD, I decided to do experimental physics, and I started working with the guy there called John Letcher, doing polymer physics. And so I started off with polymer physics then, and became much more broadly interested in soft condensed matter as a whole. So interested in, colloidal physics. Most of the research that I'm doing these days has to do with confinement. So, polymer molecules are molecules that are these long chain molecules. Think of the chain as these chain molecules as doing a random walk. So as you know, for any random walk, it's kind of a fluffy object, right? Which means that it's really easy to confine these objects to small spaces. But when you confine them into small spaces, their properties change dramatically. So a lot of the research that I do with my research group is related to confining molecules and see how that changes their properties. And this goes for polymer films and colloids and includes some biophysics as well, where we're interested in cell adhesion, how individual cells have the surfaces. So the kind of research that I am doing is sort of very, kind of the opposite spectrum of the kind of stuff that you'll be doing here this year, or at least most of you will be doing. Besides that, so in terms of why am I in PSI and what are my expectations, well, the reason I'm here is because John Belinsky asked me to be here. But I said yes immediately because I'm absolutely thrilled about the opportunity. I think this is a very special opportunity, both for the students and for me. And so I think it's an exciting program. So I was really excited at the chance of taking part in this. And the other thing is for me that I really enjoyed thinking a little bit about what does it take to be an excellent researcher, trying to formalize some of the thoughts that I've had, sort of collect these ideas over a period of time. And so that's one of the things that I really enjoyed about trying to prepare for this course. And of course, I'm very much looking forward to any interaction with all of you during this week. In terms of hobbies,
When I have time, one of the things that I enjoy doing most is playing bass guitar. And so I love being in front of an audience and playing music. So that's the other part that I really enjoy doing. So anyway, maybe you go next.
Stop first.
You don't understand, that's fine. As long as you talk loudly enough that everybody can hear.
I'll try, my voice is a little bit got a cold. I'll do my best. So I'm Dutch. I was born in Indonesia because my dad is a linguist, just studying language. I moved back to Holland when I was about 5. Went to high school in Holland and went to university in England and to Oxford. I did mainly particle physics and a little bit of sort of mathematical physics there. And that's just the reason I'm here, because I didn't quite feel ready yet to commit to a PhD in like one really specific direction, because I didn't get a chance to do any cosmology, for example. I didn't get a chance to do any quantum computation stuff, and I thought it would be nice to see a little bit more of what's out there physics-wise before I commit to something. So I suppose that's what I'm expecting here, a little bit more physics, and obviously meeting exciting scientists and you guys in international people we'll see in Canada. That's probably quite the reason we're coming here. Probably to see them dead. It's cool. Their hobbies. Just also like trying different sports, random things, like going outside a lot. I live quite close to the beach, and I love going swimming in the sea and like completing random stuff. Like reading. That's about it, really.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm from France. I was born there and I lived there most of my life, well, before coming here. I did mostly maths before now, and the reason why I came to PSI is that I wasn't quite ready to take a PhD, because I had only randomly chosen my master's degree, so I saw no reason to choose the same subject for my thesis. So I came here to learn some physics and maybe continue in physics or maths or in between. And my hobbies, I play the recorder.
Sorry, what was your name?
Bruno.
Hi, I'm Prasanna, and I'm from India. I was born and brought up there. My undergrad degree was in electrical engineering, electronics and communications. And then I did a master's in Europe in photonics. I was in Belgium for a year and Scotland for a year. And I more or less decided on a PhD in photonics when I saw this program, and then I thought, so my reason for being here are fairly vague and idealistic.
We love honesty.
When I was in school as a child, obviously everyone reads The Brief History of Time and Carl Sagan's Cosmos and all that sort of thing. And Arthur C. Clarke and space and cosmology, and you throw all these words around, but I did. And so when I got the chance to actually study all that stuff, and I thought, oh wow, I'm going to study string theory. So I've always had a fascination with physics, and I've always felt a great sense of wonder, I guess, and curiosity. So when I got the chance, I could not possibly pass that up. So I abandoned my PhD and abandoned the offer for a PhD, and I came here. And my expectations are, I don't really have any specific expectations. I'm just hoping to go through it and see what it is and learn whatever there is to learn. My hobbies are reading. I like the mountains. I like cycling and walking in the mountains. We have fantastic mountains in India. They're called the Himalayas. And I love to play cricket.
Hi everyone, my name is Saurabh, and like Prasanna, I'm from India. Pretty similar background. I have done my engineering from India as an undergrad, and after which I studied material science as a master's student at the University of Pennsylvania, and then I was doing experimental stuff, but you know, what you said, I didn't really enjoy it that much. So I decided to do something different. I worked in New York in one of the financial consulting companies, and I knew I wanted to do physics because of the childhood curiosity that I had, but I know very little about physics. So this was one program that when I came across, I was interested in, and then I sort of resigned from my job and landed here. I don't really have expectations. I have lots of fears because I didn't know anything. So hopefully I will go with something good.
Yeah, well, it's an extremely good opportunity to learn a lot of stuff. So I think that's one of the beautiful things about this is that if you're willing to work hard, you'll pick it all up for sure. Especially if you have a good attitude towards it. What is so you did financial consulting?
Yeah.
Like on the financial math side, or?
It was more for the credit card risk management sort of thing. American.
Yeah. And then how long were you doing that? Just
about 11 months, I guess, in between admissions.
And then you got fed up and so you want to go back to school?
No, I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I had fun, lots of fun.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping it will be more fun.
Well, I think that's one of the best reasons for doing things, just because it's fun. So, go ahead.
I'm Akwesa Collins, I'm in Cameroon. I did my BSA in Mathematics and Computer Science in 2006. Then I had some 14 months of work in Certificate Based Administrator in a software company. Then I moved to Nigeria to continue my education. I did some postgraduate studies in physics, theoretical physics. Then I had the opportunity to come to here. Mm-hmm. My expectations are very high. I came here first because I want to have a broad field in theoretical physics. I'll have the opportunity to meet researchers, world class, and I think it's going to motivate me a lot to learn. Like I said, my expectations are very high. I intend to, since as for now, I've not decided yet the fee I want to take. So I intend to make a decision on that.
Yeah.
And maybe try to see how things will go.
Great, thank you. Anyone?
Yeah, I like football, I like ping pong, I like swimming.
Yeah, excellent.
Hi. I'm Alex, so I'm one of the local Canadians. I'm actually from Montreal. And then I went to do my undergrad in Ottawa due to bureaucratic reasons. It allowed me to actually save a year and start university a year younger by switching colleges. Like this was a cool thing to do. Not very well-known secrets about the bureaucracy around here. So I'm interested in quantum gravity. So at PSI, I expect basically to learn a lot more quantum and a lot more gravity. I've been doing research in this for about a year and a half now. But my knowledge in quantum gravity is still very narrow to what I've actually been working on. So I'm here to try and learn all the other parts of the field and try to actually do research in slightly different areas to learn quantum gravity and know more about what I've actually been doing. I like to play sports, so just about any sports or anything that's done outside, I really enjoy it. Summer and winter, or anything else that we can do outside here. Great.
Thank you. I'm Joe Fitzgerald, so I'm from Newfoundland, and I did my undergrad there at Memorial, and then did a master's at U of T that I'm currently trying to finish up my paper from. As for
how much more work do you have to do on it?
Not that much.
Okay.
I haven't finished up this week.
On top of what I need to do.
So as for why I'm here, I saw the poster for at U of T for this thing. I kind of applied for it on a bit of a whim because I knew that PI was really cool and this seemed like really interesting, and there was some famous names and stuff involved with it. As for expectations, I guess I hope that the coursework will help me shore up my background in a lot of different areas. But more important than that, I guess, I found it's really hard to, like, you learn a lot of stuff in undergrad about different fields of physics, but it's hard to imagine how you would actually find out what is a good research problem and what people don't know, because you're taught things that people don't know. And try to find out what the perspective is of people who are currently researching unknown things. That's, I guess, primarily what I'm hoping to learn from this, like how to get into doing research as opposed to just learning things from books or in classes or whatever. And also, like a couple people said, I didn't know what, to, because of that, I didn't know what would be a good field to go into for a PhD because I had no reason to pick one over the other. Yeah, so I guess that's about it. As for hobbies, I play the piano. Beyond that, not a whole lot, I guess.
Actually, I mean, one of the, what you mentioned about, you know, starting to do research and trying to find research problems, I think that's a very, very important question. And the reality is that, you know, even people when they come out of a PhD, you know, the most you know, and not just to come out of a PhD, but the researchers in general, one of the biggest fears is where's the next idea going to come from? Where am I going to get ideas from? Right? And this is really, really difficult to develop. And I think one of the things I'd like to do this week is at least share with you a little bit, you know, my thoughts on how you can get ideas and where ideas come from. Certainly where I can tell you very clearly where I get my ideas from, and that'll become very apparent because I'm going to be talking to you, I'm very biased in terms of where my ideas come from. But I think that maybe what I have to say is a little bit more broad than that, but I think you pinpointed something that's extremely crucial. Where do ideas come from, right? Because you see so many examples of really, really smart people, excellent. You know, they have this natural gift, but they're not worth managing these problems, right? And the problems are always incremental, and they just don't seem to be going as far as what we would expect based on that raw intelligence. And so there's something besides just that raw ability. There's something else that they need. And so maybe we'll explore some of that. Thank you.
My name's Chris Grenada. Trying to, I'm here at SAI to try to really start learning about the fields that I want to research in, most particularly quantum information, quantum computation. I mean, from the outside, it's hard to pinpoint what exactly in there I want to do. I feel like my career up until this point has been trying to establish the background and foundations I need for that. But I haven't really started learning about what I'm truly interested in. So I'm trying to, you know, start doing that now. That's what really brings me to SAI, is I feel like that, and especially in a community like with the Perimeter Institute, I can really start to explore it. A field that really interests me, and I expect and hope that, you know, by the end of this, I'll be able to do some good, and by which I mean useful research in the field. So,
where's you from?
Alaska.
Alaska. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, forgot that detail.
Sorry.
Addressing the hobbies question, I'm not really the most hobbyful person, but you know, play video games, read. Recently, following a suggestion, started trying to blog about, you know, SAI itself and my experiences here. And there's some hobbies I'd like to take up one day, like this, you know, go sailing again one day and try to learn how to do that properly, but that's about it.
Great. So, hi everyone, I'm Nimas, I'm from Iran, I did my bachelor's degree in physics at Chadwick University in Iran. As for my interest, I'm mostly interested in gravitational physics and similar to Alex, I'm quite interested in quantum gravity. A part of my interest comes from where I studied, at Chadwick University, and professors there. I'm quite interested in the foundational questions in physics, particularly the duration of time and stuff like that. As that clears the question, is why did I choose DSI? Well, Princeton Institute is one of the few places in, can I say, the world that people can claim they are doing what they want to do, they are doing what they think they should do other than other universities and things. What are my expectations? I should say I expect to learn the basic foundations of what science is, what physics is, and mathematical physics. I'm hoping to learn a lot during UPSI. For hobbies, I must say I like to play basketball, chess, and do a lot of stuff on computer.
Great. My name's Kyle. I was born in the north of Canada. I grew up in the interior on the west coast of British Columbia. I did my undergrad at University of Victoria, where I studied particle physics at CERN for a year and a half, doing Higgs reconstructions. I was on track to continue experimental particle physics until I saw a talk by Lee Smolin last year on double special relativity, and I was pretty much knocked off my feet that people here actually question Einstein. So that's one of the reasons I'm here. Also, I was very drawn to the transparency and freedom, which is inherent in the PI philosophy, and of course for the reputation of the research here. And I expect to emerge a competent and honest researcher and build contacts with all of you guys as colleagues, as well as people perimeter. And as for hobbies, I play baseball and like stereotypical Canadian hockey. And I write a little bit, but that mainly consists of ripping off Hemingway and copying him. So.
My name is Heather, I'm from the UK. I studied maths at Cambridge for undergraduate, and then I had a couple of years off working. And then I did a master's at Imperial in London, also in applied maths. The reason I wanted to come here is kind of the same as what a few people said already. At the end of the master's, I've done a project which I liked and it was great, but that didn't really tell me what I wanted to do after that. And I only did the project just recently, as I say, I'm actually finishing it right now. But more than that as well, what John was saying, this transition from being a student to being a researcher, I don't really know what it means to be a researcher, whether that's for me or not. And I didn't find that the master's I did with them really lived up to my expectations in terms of bridging that gap and making that step. And I hope that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's a very important point, because one of the things that is often the case with a standard kind of master's program is that you arrive somewhere, you're with a supervisor, and they tell you what project you have. So that the whole idea about developing ideas, you know, where do your ideas come from, you know, which is really, I think, what it has to be researcher, you don't really have that opportunity, and here you should have that opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great refresher somehow, this master's after 2 years out, but not any more than that. I had a bit of interaction with professors, but I wasn't really sort of thinking on my own that much. So.
Where do you hear you from?
From Herefordshire.
Where's that?
That's on the Welsh border.
Okay, great, beautiful spot.
Yeah. Quiet.
What's that?
Quiet, but beautiful.
Yeah. Calvin?
Hi, yeah.
I asked the tutors to do this as well, because it's a good way for me to get to know them a little bit better and hopefully for you as well. So.
But yeah, I'm Callum Durford, I'm from Manchester in the UK, although born in Glasgow, but it's a long story, I lost the accent.
It was that hard, I'm not going to.
So yeah, I did undergraduate maths at Cambridge, and then part three masters in theoretical physics. Part three, it's like a master's. Nearly finished a PhD in particle physics at the University of Durham, which is also in the UK. I still have to finish it. I have to fly back in October to actually do the visa, so we'll see how that goes. I might not be a doctor yet. Fingers crossed, please. I'm only here for free BlackBerry. No, I'm here because when I saw this interesting opportunity to come and teach and also think again about a lot of the stuff that I flew through in my master's year, like cosmology. So having done particle physics, I've kind of missed out on cosmology. I want to go back and look at it all again, and so the chance to actually teach it and really get to grips with some of the material. And also in the quantum computing, I'm not had any chance to study that yet.
You don't recognize your own brand.
That's an alarm call.
It's time to wake up.
Sorry, I'm boring you. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to going over and teaching, helping you all learn something about it, and also learning a lot myself as well, I'm sure. It's a good opportunity to learn all sorts, including how to stand up in front of people and talk when you really don't know what you're talking about. It's going to be useful this year, I think. And it's also great to meet you all. I'm really enjoying actually meeting such a diverse set of people.
So, my name is Denis Danikovich. Originally, I'm from Russia. I did my undergraduate at Moscow State University. Then I moved to the United States to do my PhD in the University of Illinois. After that, I worked a bit in the United States in the National Lab, Magnetic Field Lab, where I did the research in condensed matter theory. So my area of specialization is theoretical condensed matter. Then I moved to Canada and became a permanent resident of Canada, and I'm quite happy with that, I'm quite proud about this. And I continued to do my research in McMaster University, where I work under the supervision of Professor John Berlinski and Catherine Cullen, where I also did research in material science related to frustrated magnets. After that, I continued my career at Simon Fraser University. And this was the place where I first had the opportunity to teach physics. And I understood that I really like to teach physics. Not only theoretical, but physics in general. Physics for undergraduates. Unfortunately, I didn't have the opportunity, to teach physics to school children, but I hope I will have this in my life. So I taught physics to non-physicists. I taught for engineers. And I taught also for physics majors. And at the same time, I continued to do research, this time in the area of atomic fields called atoms. So why am I here? There are two reasons. First of all, I would like to expand my own knowledge of theoretical physics. Doing research, I understood how many methods from other fields of theoretical physics I use in my particular own field of research condensed matter. So my goal is to expand the knowledge of theoretical physics, cosmology, string theory, quantum computation. And the second goal is to sharpen my teaching skills, this time in a completely different environment, in an environment of 26, 28 people. So this will be the new setting, the new program, and I'm looking forward to expanding my research skills and my teaching skills and teaching expertise. So I hope that I will have a remarkable experience, and it's a big pleasure to meet new people also, to meet new colleagues, both students who haven't done the PhD and faculty members.
Thanks. Things that I'm kind of jealous of the opportunity these guys have, right? Because, you know, not only do they get to take the exact same program that you guys are taking, but on top of that, they have the added pressure that they're supposed to be ahead of you by a little bit, which, and they go flattering, professor. It's all about flattering. So I think that really is a fantastic opportunity. I can imagine how exciting that will be for you guys to try and learn all of this stuff. So,
my name is Imogen. I'm from Latvia, so I'm going to be in the middle of the world. I do my BSc at Rhodes University in physics and computer science. I come from a pretty small university, so I don't have a huge exposure to a lot of the breadth that you get here. And then I really talk about physics. got introduced to this one, and quantum gravity, string theory, all things that are more or less new to me. So I came here to learn about them. I want to come at this with a pretty clear idea of if and where and in what I want to do a PhD. That's really terrifying, and I just don't work for a bank. As hobbies, I'm probably South African, I like sport, other than that, I've played jazz trombone and piano for many years. I like cooking, and I really like sport. I'm trying to do as little of it here as possible. and I also really like teaching, so I need sort of, I managed to teach from about 16 through to sort of second year students throughout. Really good. That's a lot of opportunities to teach. I really enjoy that.
And my name is Joe Hewlett. I come from England. I live in Cornwall, which is in the southwest, a little boot bit, just uphill from the beach, which is excellent. I'm kind of missing it at the moment because it's far too hot here. I went to school at Oxford and got a master's degree in physics. And now I decided to come here because basically the course looks pretty amazing. Kind of all these people coming in to teach us, the opportunity to be the first batch of people to go and do something is pretty cool. And it's fun to be a guinea pig, it's kind of exciting.
You hurt.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I'm alive by the end of the year, I'm sure we'll try. But, and it also, like, it came at the right time because in between the end of the Masters and doing the PhD, there aren't very many opportunities that I would have had to take a course like this. So it kind of all slotted into place, so I figured what happened. I don't really have that many expectations of it. I mean, I want to become a better researcher and I want to learn some more physics, but one of the most exciting things about this is I don't really know what I'm getting out of it or what's going to happen or who I'm going to meet or anything like that. So it's kind of really cool. As for my hobbies and stuff like that, I pretty much do anything. Anything I see a video of on YouTube that looks kind of cool, I like it, and then try that for a bit, and then get bored and go and do something else. So, yeah.
You get hurt a lot? Because repeating the YouTube videos.
it doesn't go well sometimes.
Yeah. Recipe for disaster.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've had a sofa thrown at me. That was interesting. I've done a lot of cliff jumping. I've jumped off piers with kites. Lots of stuff. I should be in those videos.
Well, hopefully you'll be in a video with a good ending. Go ahead.
I'm Henry. I'm from Minnesota in the U.S. I went to a really, really small school in a small town in the middle of cornfields in Iowa, so this is a big change for me. I guess, not the small class here, but the university in big city. And I met PSNI. I actually hadn't heard of it a year ago or even 8 months ago. A friend of mine at school came here last summer for a week or two to do a course or something and told me about it, told me about this program I applied to. And it was seemed like no one had any idea what it was about, and that was pretty appealing. So, and I wanted to come and I'm not sure what I want to go into physics or math or making movies or something else that I love. So, we'll see if you can convince me to do the physics actually this year. My expectations. I'd like to be challenged, not necessarily with the amount of work, but with crazy ideas. see really cool things and make me go, whoa, this is what I really, this is what I love about science in general. My hobbies, I like anything to do with outdoors, really canoe, I run, nordic skiing, hiking, stuff that makes you hurt, get out there for a really long time and you're really tired at the end of the day. I make movies, like I said, play music, and fiddle and mandolin. So.
I'm Eric. I'm from Montreal. I did a bachelor's degree in physics, and
was really tough, but I liked it. And I actually was not going to continue physics. I applied medicine. I was going to do medicine, but I didn't get it. So I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. And one of the reasons that I applied to medicine and stopped continuing physics is because I was looking, you know, I was applying for master's degrees or PhDs, and I didn't find any projects that I thought were interesting, or and I didn't want to commit to something for 2 years or 5 years that I barely had any idea what it is. You know, some professor's project that he wants me to fix up, you know, pad loose end or fix this code or something like that, and it didn't look interesting to me. And then when I saw this program, I said it's perfect. You know, I can have more time to see what's out there, and you know, visit another place, learn more physics, know more what field I want to go into, and hopefully I'll have a good idea about what I want to do when I'm done this. It's possible again for me to end up doing theoretical physics. I don't know, or maybe experimental physics, or maybe even work in industry. I don't know.
You even consider experimental physics? nobody's saying I really want to go into supplements back. I haven't heard that yet. Maybe one of you guys will say.
No, I have to do it in this matter. Probably if I end up doing. Mm-hmm. Physics, then it'll probably be in that, but hobbies, I didn't commit to anything in physics, so I never committed to any hobby either. I like everything that's fun, so that's easy.
Great, thank you.
My name's Chris, I'm from Australia, from a coastal town a couple hours north of Sydney, and all through high school I knew I wanted to be a graphic designer. And then that kind of went wrong in my final year when I had a particularly inspiring physics teacher who talked me into doing physics at university.
Oh no.
Still don't know if I should forgive him yet. But I went to a local university and decided to do a combined degree in mathematics and physics because I thought the maths would help the physics. And then I ended up enjoying the maths a lot more and realized pretty early I'd like theoretical physics. The physics at my university is entirely experimental. So after I finished my undergrad, I changed universities to do my honours year to a university in Sydney that had a reasonable size theoretical quantum information group and did a research project with them. At the end of that, I guess I didn't know if I wanted to do physics anymore. I didn't like the idea of doing a PhD in Australia, so I was going to have a year off and go backpacking around the world. And then one of my supervisors who did his postdoc at PI showed me this, and it looked like a good opportunity to travel and to learn theoretical physics in general, which I haven't had a chance to be exposed to except for a little bit of quantum. And so I still went backpacking because the way semesters work with Southern and Northern Hemisphere, I had about a year off anyway. And I hope to learn about physics, theoretical physics in general, and see if I can find an area of physics that I feel passionate enough about to do a PhD in. Other than that, I love music, pretty much, listening, writing, playing. I still don't know if I want to be a scientist or a musician, so...
What do you play?
Guitar, mostly. And, I really love performing, so... Canada's good for that, too. I'm hoping to do a bit of that here if I get any free time.
Yeah, there's a great music scene around here. Lots of good opportunities. You mentioned this idea of, you know, getting turned on by one teacher. There's one teacher who really turned you on to physics. How many of you have had that experience where you just had that one teacher?
Two.
Where you had a teacher who really, like, you know, threw you over the edge? I think it's pretty common. I had the exact same experience where I knew I liked science, but then there was just this one teacher where it's like, I love this science, it's fantastic. And it was doing like kinematic motion and things like that. I don't know why I thought that was interesting at the time.
Hi, my name is Darren. I'm from Ireland, the west coast, small town called Galway. I did my bachelor's there in physics and applied maths. And a bit like Chris, the physics there is mostly experimental, but as time went on, I got more and more into the theory, into the maths side of it. when I finished, I knew I was lucky enough to have found something I really liked to do, but I knew I didn't know, there was massive amounts of information I didn't know, and there's also, I didn't know enough about the field I felt to commit to any particular narrow project or PhD in any given area. So this I felt when one of the lecturers recommended to me. He'd gotten one of his friends here, I told him about it. I felt it was a great opportunity to improve both academically and try and get up to speed with some of the massive amount of information that you need to kind of as a basis to do any type of research in this area, but also to try and figure out exactly what I would like to do with research. So yes, those would be kind of my two hopes rather than expectations for the year, to try and improve my knowledge level a bit and also to try and figure out where and what I'd like to do from as a research or master's or PhD. Hobbies, I like to climb, rock wall climbing, gym, guitar. I like to play guitar. That's pretty much it.
Excellent. Thank you.
I'm Shanta. I did my undergrad at UW in the Faculty of Mathematics and Mathematical Physics. And so after first year, I didn't know a lot of people around here and researchers, but I did know the name Ray Laflamme. He's the director of the IQC. So I decided I'd try emailing him to get a research position. And he was really kind about it, and he let me go work with him that summer, but it was more like secretary work, because you know, you're just done first year, you haven't really learned that much physics. And yeah, I ended up staying there doing research every summer. And why I'm here is because I was once told that science is about asking good questions. And I think two critical aspects of that is having a broad knowledge of the field that you're working in and doing lots of problems. So I'm hoping to get like experience in that aspect. And expectations, I guess, working in a group. I want to learn how to work in like a group setting instead of individually all the time, and getting exposure to open problems in theoretical physics, trying to find where I want to spend like the rest of my life, what I want to do. So, and for hobbies, I guess piano mostly and basketball.
Excellent.
Hi, I'm Aaron. I'm from the U.S. I studied physics at the University of Michigan and then became somewhat disillusioned with it. So the reason I applied here is mainly because I figured if there was anywhere I wanted to do physics, it would be here. My backup plan is to go into math. So I'm here, and why am I here? Okay, so I expect not much. I expect to learn quantum field theory because, again, I figure if I'm ever going to be able to do it, we'll be here. And I hope that this will be like an environment where the physics is done a little more rigorously, a place where, like, you know, if somebody says something that doesn't make sense, you can raise your hand and say that doesn't make sense, and you'll get an answer, or even just an admission that it doesn't make sense, but we have to do it to get the right answer. Hobbies, I play the guitar a little bit. When I have the time, I like to do a little bit of like graphic design. Right. Sometimes when I grow up, I want to be Carl Sagan. Secretly.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Vince from Japan, and I did my undergrad as a after planetary physics, so I'm not so familiar with theoretical physics, but a quantum mechanics class was very interesting, so I decided to go to master course as cosmology. So I did 2 years master courses in cosmology, but I didn't have enough knowledge to research, so I decided to come here for expectations. I hope to learn more basis of theoretical physics, such as elementary particle physics and cosmology and quantum computation. But my English is not so good, so I'd like to learn more English and communicate with others more fluently. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
if your English is fine, and you'll find that you'll learn it very, very quickly. So don't worry about it.
I'm Yimin. I'm from mainland China, and I did my bachelor degree in physics. But I'm into some work on optical engineering, especially photonic crystal papers. And why I'm here, because I have some expectation of this program. And because my knowledge of theoretical physics is limited, so I wish I could do more preparation here. And also I want to build a sense of different disciplines of the theoretical physics. And then I will decide the one I love best as my PhD objective. And I also wonder in what topic the scientists here concerned about. And the second reason is I want to improve my English and the communicative skills. And I know there's still a long way for me to go. And my hobbies, I like drawing comics and watch animations, and sometimes do some reading novels and some writing. And I love hiking and playing tennis.
Great. I love how broad your interests are. Such a huge spectrum of things is fantastic.
Hi all, my name is Lok Man from Hong Kong. I did my bachelor's degree in math and physics in Hong Kong University of Science and Technology. Well, as for why I'm here at PSI, I don't see why not, because they have all the excellent faculties. Basically, we are here for the same reason, so it's selection bias, and I don't want to repeat everything. Basically, I don't have much research experience, so I want to see what research is all about here. Well, it's more like a buffet dinner where you take a little bit of everything and see what you like most, unlike the regular main course thing. My hobbies include daydreaming, fantasizing, reading books, reading about insects in particular. I'm hoping to learn to be an independent researcher while being able to work in a group and communicate with other people.
I'm John. As long as I can remember, I've always been curious about nature, and I was fortunate enough to have a couple of really great teachers growing up, and one of them introduced me to special relativity, and that was what really sparked my interest in theoretical physics. So I did an undergraduate degree in physics at the University of North Carolina, I really, one of the main reasons I wanted to come here is because I felt I've always felt like even if no one made me, I would work as hard as I could in physics. So I never understood why the idea at university is supposed to sort of beat you into their mold and make you work really hard in a specific way, rather than just give you the opportunity to work really hard and learn as much as you can, which I felt like was sort of the core of this program. And also mainly for the other people. You know, I knew that it was sort of a crazy new idea, and that the other students interested would probably just be crazy and open-minded. And so probably my biggest expectation here is just to really learn a lot from you guys. I've seen, you know, some of the stuff you've written on Facebook, and I know you all have really diverse and really specialized experience in certain areas. And I feel like I'm excited to learn from all of you about those things, and maybe to share some of my experience too.
It's very interesting what you say about, you know, sort of this beating of the work into you, which is, I mean, of course you know exactly why that happens, right? The reason it happens is any standard physics class that you're in, you have, you know, maybe 10-20% if you're lucky, students who are completely self-motivated and really want to work. So the only way to get them to work is to make them work. And what will probably be very nice about this group is that, you know, I suspect that all of them are very motivated to work hard. And so that completely frees up that requirement. I think it's a very, very valuable point to keep in mind. Not that I'm going to make you work less hard, but.
Yeah, my introduction is also kind of on the hard work theme.
So I went to the University of Ottawa, in Front Ottawa, and I did my 4 years of undergraduate there in physics math, much like Alex. And so, yeah, I found last year that I was working very, very hard, you know, 8 hours a day or more every day. And I thought, hey, I kind of like this, actually. So I figured this is a great program if you're in tech, because very much so. We'll be working 8 hours a day on physics every day. So, yeah, I'm at PSI to learn all these very interesting subjects. But also, I expect, my expectations are that, yeah, a lot of good work, work worth doing, and I like that kind of thing. I guess I'll talk about research a bit. I've done a bit of particle physics, and I've done a bit of biophysics, both on like the theoretical side, and still doing a bit of work on the particle physics stuff. Like everybody else who seems to have this little bit of trivial work they haven't got done because it's the middle of August, and kind of great scheduling. And then my hobbies, I like to play tennis, and I've been enjoying a lot of ping pong lately. and downhill skiing, and also like cycling, and just yeah, getting outdoors is nice.
My name is Marin, I'm originally from Poland, and so I got really interested by this. It's my available called Hyperspace by Michel Franco, and I was like, in Canada, that would be great. 8 or 10 or 11 something like that. So, and then I also had a very good teacher in junior high school who prepared me for like regional competitions in physics. And then I realized that if I work hard in physics, I can be good and achieve something. And that's how the story started. So then I went to high school, which was very much inclined for physics and mathematics. And as a undergrad, I chose the University of Edinburgh because I had quite a few theoretical physics group, theoretical particle physics group, including like Peter Gies and Piper and so on. So I needed to meet other people and also to, you know, practice my English. That's a free way to learn English properly, to go to study abroad.
Yeah.
And I've done some research in the theoretical condensed matter physics, theoretical particle physics, like a little string theory. I mean, every summer I try to do some research with local people in Edinburgh. But I've never really been too convinced to which area I want to do research in. I mean, spent like 5 years of my life. That's why I thought that the PSI program would be an excellent chance to have some time to decide and learn. Learn more about these subjects, these areas, to have, you know, a broader field of it, then kind of decide what I would like to do. And also, it's a place where there are excellent people, like I've read a book, Travel with Physics, by Vince Mullin, which I really enjoyed as a controversial book. Mm-hmm. So I've already seen Vince Mullin, that was a nice experience. And that was the motivation to come here. And as for the expectation, I think I would like to meet, first of all, learn how to work in a group, which just I always learned myself. Like in high school, then in my undergrad, that was basically just learning to take exams, which was individual work, alone in your room, usually, or in the library. So I think working in a group here would be a nice experience, especially that it's an international group of 14 countries, so you can learn not only how to learn in a group, but also like a little about other countries as well. And also, the expectation is to meet at some point and discuss with people who try to reformulate fundamental physics, like the mathematical formulation of time, space, and that of time. And I don't really find fundamental physics nowadays too convincing, so I think I would like to try to reformulate it in the future. I mean, especially time, the formulation of time is really big. Then decide what areas to teach in. And as for hobbies, like cycling, bike surfing, opera, European operas, Mozart, very easy. I've already figured out where the operas are here, so I'll probably go next. Anybody wants to go?
Great. Fantastic. Well, I'm nervous. I'm a standoff. I'm Tao, I'm from China.
And before I come to PSI, I'm a graduate in Nanjing University. The reason I chose to study theoretical physics is because I'm curious about the nature. And the reason I chose to become PSI is because when I do some research in my university, I find it's difficult for me to formulate my ideas because I like some basic knowledge and some discipline of different courses. For example, I don't know much about quantum field theory, and I don't know much about cosmology. So ask my supervisor how can I solve this problem. My supervisor suggested me to come to PI to take part in the PSI. She told me that PSI can provide a very excellent course and I will meet many excellent people and many outstanding professors. So I'm applying PSI, and I think I'll be selected by PSI is surprised to me, and I hope we can have a amazing collaboration in the next year. And that's the reason why I come to PSI. And talk about my hobby, I like reading, I like playing ping pong, and I like drinking, and yes, I like everything, and it's okay. So I think the language barrier make me become a foreigner, but but believe me, if I can overcome the problem of language, you will find me an interest. Thank you.
Excellent. One of the concerns that in discussing with the tutors that we had in advance was, you know, the level of English, how well people can communicate. Because of course we have a broad range of people here. And I'm really excited to see that everybody's so fluent and can communicate so well. So I think that really is going to be very helpful. I mean, of course, some of you have a lot to learn still to become completely fluent. But in terms of the people that I've worked with in the past, and I see how these students progress, I really think that you will all do very, very well. So and I'm also pleased to see that you're all very good at communicating. So that's great stuff.